operating Australia's largest complementary SME model, helping the defence sector optimise capability and assets. Gold Group presents the Defence Ready Seminar Series podcasts. The Defence Ready Seminar Series is a joint initiative of Gold Group, Hunter Defence, Aiden, and the Centre for Defence Industry Capability.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Defence Ready Seminar Series of podcasts. My name is Grant McCarran, and in this episode, we're going to discuss business continuity. For this discussion, I'm joined by Rinsky Geerlings, founder and principal consultant at Business As Usual. Welcome, Rinsky.
Thank you very much, Grant.
Good to have you on the show, and a very important topic you're going to be discussing with us about business continuity. But before we kick into that, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, what it is that you do, and of course, what is Business As Usual?
Yeah, sure. Well, Business As Usual, I started in 2006 and basically recognizing the need for organizations, whether public or private sector, to have a plan for when it hits the fan in a nutshell. And so basically that is what business continuity is, in my view, all about, is actually not focusing too much on the preventative risk management sort of aspects, which most people try to do. There's always a chance that those prevention methods have not worked and those preventative controls are not sufficient. And so an incident might still affect your business. And what is then the plan? So that's what most of my work focuses on. But we do some risk management as well, some initial response procedures. And especially when it comes to information security, we're quite heavily delving into that because that's appeared to become a completely different scenario compared to the traditional IT disaster recovery scenarios. You know, with cyber attacks, people basically recognize, well, we're going to have to maybe turn all the primary as well as the backup systems off because we don't know how far this virus or malware has traveled. So, yeah, it's been a very interesting journey in that regard. And, well, what else? I'm originally Dutch, so I'm pretty direct when it comes to giving people ideas on how they can improve and, yeah, basically dealing a little bit with sometimes with the how shall I say this nicely? Sticking their head in the sand syndrome, you know, when people go, let's just keep our fingers crossed. We'll cross the bridge when we get to it. We don't need to make a business continuity plan, that kind of thing. I still kind of see that. And especially since COVID, you know, people think, oh, well, we dealt with COVID, so we don't really need a BCP. We'll just deal with it as it comes when the next lockdown hits us. But there's, of course, you know, other scenarios we need to plan for. So, yeah, it's been absolutely a very exciting field to work in. And, being Dutch, I think I was born with the disaster recovery gen, you know, in my body because we our country is so much underwater, 70-80%. So we grow up with the idea, well, there's risk and we need to manage it, you know, and what is the plan if it actually eventuates? So that's a little initial sort of background on myself and on Business As Usual.
Okay, so definitely that whole, as you mentioned, risk management and risk assessment being in your life, growing up in that environment where most of your country is underwater level. So yes, that's clearly given you a lot of background there, and great to hear that you're looking into the cyber incidents as well. You know, we've got through a pandemic, we're getting through cyber incidents. Oh my, everywhere you look, there's something new to give us problems. So can you tell us a bit about how you've come to be involved in the series and how this business continuity actually works for defence?
Yeah, look, the Defence Department is probably one of the areas that is most switched on about incidents, you know, potential threats. What do we do if something happens? Their preparedness, well, and their mindset around that is actually fairly strong. I would say probably right up there when we talk about the whole scheme of things. But they expect the same sort of thing from their suppliers. And that's why putting a course together around business continuity for defense suppliers or potential defense suppliers is absolutely critical. And that's how Gold Group found me, I guess, and just wanting to add business continuity as one of the key ingredients to the whole suite of courses that Gold Group has put together. So I've been in touch with them since about a year and a half now, and it's been fantastic. We've run this program before and got lots of people joining. Last time I did it, I think we had 45 people in the course and just lots of different discussions about what might happen and how even smaller businesses who are defense suppliers, how they could effectively and efficiently still put a business continuity plan together that doesn't cost the world, you know, that doesn't break the bank, and but also doesn't take too much of their time and effort, because that's probably one frustration most businesses have if they have to put a plan like this together. Thinking about all the different threats and then all the different strategies and the provisions and procedures to put in place, it can become a whole burden. And that's what basically I teach the opposite and go, really, what is the low-hanging fruit? The 80-20 rule, you know, keep that plan simple, very easy to action. And so I think that fits right with the whole Gold Group philosophy of being very practical in their training and, giving people all the absolutely critical tools that they need to get on with their business and become, well, the best defense supplier that they can be.
Well, we've all seen those disaster recovery plan binders. Often in some companies, they go to more than one binder sitting in the shelf, gathering dust and waiting for the disaster when somebody breaks it out and goes, hang on, these people don't even work here. We've all seen that scenario. So you mentioned you're going the 80-20 rule and so on. So can you give us a bit more information about what you're doing with business continuity in the broader environment, especially, as you've mentioned before, the current pandemic and also with the cyber threats that we're seeing?
Look, like I said, in context of the pandemic, there are people who think, oh, I don't need a plan. I'll work it out, you know, because we did it with COVID and all the lockdowns. But there's also the group of people that, after talking to me, that have become converted or that had made their own wisdom around this, that there are incidents that are not slow onset type scenarios like the pandemic was. And when I say slow onset, I mean, I know it was immediate, but there was still time for most organizations. And I work with state government, with federal government, with local councils, but also with private companies. And most of them say, look, we did at least have some days to think this thing through and go, okay, who are we going to send home? Where are we going to get some laptops? How are we going to get the headsets? You know, so there was thinking time, if that makes sense. And so that's different from a fast onset scenario like a fire or a flood or a cyber attack, where it may be a matter of minutes, where you have to either run out of a broken building or you have to unplug all your systems. And from there, yeah, what is then the plan? So most organizations I now talk to are starting to come to their wits about this and go, okay, we actually do need to think through some of the other scenarios. In COVID times, we have in actual fact been quite lucky. Staff, as opposed to some of the pandemic plans that some people had made, not many, but some had made pandemic plans, but it was all around massive staff illness and not relying on anyone in the workforce and how do we get spare people, you know, to help out. In actual fact, COVID hasn't really given us in Australia that impact. Like, it's not like all businesses have said, oh, half the staff are actually ill with COVID. But what did happen is that they were distracted with other work or with family care or with just getting themselves set up to work remotely. And that was the major impact. But the luck that we had was the internet stayed up and the devices were at least functioning in most businesses. It wasn't like a major infrastructure outage in most organizations. There was no real incidence of full internet outage for days on end. Power failures, of course, we've had in Australia, but, you know, that wasn't really specifically linked to that COVID period. So COVID as a scenario itself was a little bit, in some ways, easy because we had at least hours or sometimes days or even weeks to think it through and to come up with a strategy when it actually happened. And I was in those meetings with clients of mine who said, hey, we want to activate the BCP. Can you come in and guide us a bit more as to how we're going to communicate this to our staff, for example? But we had meetings and it was like, oh, we'll see you in a couple of days and we'll work out the next stage. And, you know, we had time to think it through. So that's probably one thing to say about COVID. It was not requiring BCPs that are so generic that they can apply to every other incident. You know, you still have to make business continuity plans for all the other sort of faster onset scenarios. And yeah, I think in terms of the best practice and how I apply that is, and you mentioned, you know, the famous red folders with the dust on it. Quantity, in my view, doesn't equal quality when it comes to initial response and business continuity plans. You know, it's all about really extracting quick reference cards, memory aids, things that actually have the non-natural actions on it. So if you make a complete copy of all your standard operating procedures, of course, you're going to end up with a massive continuity plan. Whereas, yeah, as soon as you kind of close it and reopen it, there has been changes and often they are forgotten to be applied. So what I would recommend is that 80-20 rule to be applied all the way through and come up with extracts from that sort of broader business continuity approach and say, what is the, for example, the checklist that the senior leaders, the crisis management team or whatever you're going to call them, what do they need for their very first meeting in case of an incident? Bang, bang, bang. Here's the checklist. Here's the tick boxes. This is what they need to think about and primarily focusing on the things they might forget. So not coming up with another ream of paper of 50 pages, but actually going very practical. So that's one example of a quick reference card. But also a disruption assessment checklist, for example. It's sometimes not that easy to determine if an incident actually warrants a whole invocation of the business continuity plan. You know, you need to have certain thresholds for that. You need to have thought about your key business priorities for that. What are your time critical activities? Which resources are linked to that? And if they are down or disrupted or damaged or whatever, what is then the sort of timings that you can still deal with? You know, and what thresholds are there to say we now activate partially or in full that business continuity plan? All those things you need to think through beforehand, because those priorities are hard to work out beforehand already. Like there's usually people in an organization who all think that they might be the most important, most critical person there, you know, left standing in an incident. Whereas to work out what actually are those priorities often takes a bit of discussion. And yeah, we can't all expect the beautiful, cappuccinos and the pot plants and everything to be ready there in another building for everyone to turn up. So we need to be really, prioritizing the right things and beforehand have those discussions. So when we invoke the plan, we know, hey, these people, they can go home and stay put for a couple of days, take some rest. Maybe they'll be required to come in on day 3 or 4, you know, for their own process or to assist other time critical process owners, you know, to actually continue that work. And especially in small businesses, we don't have spare staff sitting around waiting for an incident to happen to become backup for someone else. I mean, often it's difficult to get everyone, backed up by the right people and not be fatigued. And especially the leaders of a smaller business. And I'm highlighting smaller businesses because there's in the Defense Ready program, in last time I ran it, there was actually quite a lot of small to medium-sized organizations. And they all said, well, we don't really have that much slack in our system. You know, we don't have 10 people doing IT disaster recovery. We don't have 20 people sitting around, you know, with a business continuity plan in hand for it to be activated. These people are busy, you know, they're doing their day-to-day work and they're not thinking about the what-ifs all the time. And when a planet gets activated, well, we might need some spare resources quickly or some existing staff to step in for other staff with the right checklist and the right quick reference card to perform those roles. So it's all about being really flexible, creative. It's actually a fantastic creative process when you think about it. It's really thinking the bare bones. What are the key ingredients in this business? What do we have to keep going? And especially if we deal with the Defense Department, what do they expect from us to keep going, you know, and not work it out on the spot and not cross the bridge when you get to it. So that's, in a nutshell, what I would advocate.
Yeah, and I imagine that once you've got the business continuity plan up and you've got it prepared, you don't just leave it sitting there, even if it is quick reference cards and things. I imagine that there's the inevitable happens and something always comes out of left field, but you would also probably want to do some run-throughs. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's probably in the more experienced organizations who already have business continuity plans. And I'm referring especially to the financial sector and some of the government entities who are really regulated on this, or some of the defense suppliers who also supply services to those generic sort of sectors like finance or government. They actually are required to do testing. And the testing, or as I would call it, exercising of the plan or rehearsing the plan. I don't really like the word test. You know, it becomes this exam feeling that people think, oh, I pass or I fail. And, I don't want to look like an idiot when I'm at that test. And I actually eradicate that word completely from our framework, in most organizations because it doesn't suggest what you're actually trying to do. You, in an exercise or rehearsal of the plan, you're trying to really come up as a group with what might be the gaps there? What haven't we thought through properly? And actually, in a virtual world, it's a bit difficult, but in the real sort of face-to-face sessions that we have and that we run with organizations, you know, the simulation exercises, et cetera, we reward people. And I'm Dutch, so I love chocolate, and I always bring very good chocolate, but I reward people with who actually come out with the warts and all, who say, oh, that's in that plan, but that won't work at all. Or, look, I work in IT, and there's a procedure there to recover a system, but no way that will work because it's completely out of date, or we've migrated that system to another server, or, you know, who actually have the courage in those sessions to say what is actually lacking in the plan, because that's when you still have time to fix it, and not just by, you know, sort of under the table fixing the gaps, but actually looking at the root cause of why that plan did have some sort of discrepancy or a misassumption or whatever, and fixing that then, you know, and really, being, like I said, as a team, being hands-on and creative with that concept. And rehearsals are the best way to do that. And like I said, it's not all boring, you know, like the rehearsals can be really good fun. And we pull out, you know, fake news videos and actors and all sorts of stuff to make the thing realistic. And with a bit of humor in there, but not you know, wanting to make people look like they don't know what they're doing, but just, you know, to push a little bit the boundaries, push the envelope a little bit, saying, hey, we're really good at these parts. The plan is really, you know, up to scratch in this context, but we need to tweak it a little bit more. And these are the challenges that we're going to throw in the mix and see how we go with that and really deal with it as a team. So, yeah, it's very hands-on. It really fits with actually the defense philosophy of being practical, not thinking what's written somewhere, but also actually going to test it out and validate it. And some of the defense suppliers in our goal group program, they actually will be required to be part of those exercises at defense, you know, on site or in whatever form, could be virtual as well. But, you know, they're probably going to have to show their capability in real life a little bit, instead of just coming up with something written and printed off and going, hey, here's our tender submission, you know, actually being validated, you know, is going to be part of the future path, I think, for most of them.
Yeah, indeed. So that's a pretty good indication of how this all fits in. But can you give us an example about a specific client you may be allowed to tell us of and how you help them in a specific situation?
Yeah, sure. We did some work. We do a lot of work for state and federal and local government, like I said, also internationally. And I've got heaps of examples from overseas clients, but I thought I'd pull out one from a local institution that we worked with in the finance sector. And they actually had an issue with flooding where all their branches in a certain region were actually affected. And what we did is we activated the BCP that we had tested with one of the key network providers, like their IT network providers. And because we had tested and validated it properly, we knew how to quickly switch all the communications from that area to other branches who could then continue to work and pick up the phone for customers, etc. So that's an example of really activating something that is a mix of the technology, the actual people, and the process around it, and actually seeing it all coming to fruition. But I've got crazy scenarios, like from African clients, for example. One Ugandan client actually comes to mind. I did some work for federal government there, and yeah, they're dealing with riots and protests around, you know, when there's elections and things like that. And we had actually put together some crazy scenario around violence and their sites being attacked, etc. And at the time, I thought, well, this is a bit like, you know, the Godzilla, the meteor attack type things, you know, the black swan sort of thing. But I'm not kidding. And about a 6-month period later, they actually had those elections and that violence actually happened. And they were on the phone a couple of days later saying, thank you for building this thing with us, because we had all the contact details. We had alternates for staff. We knew what to do. We had the scenario of being locked into the building as well as people being evacuated, you know. And so we actually saw it in action through their eyes. And that was this fantastic, rewarding sort of phone calls, as you can imagine, because that's where the proof is in the pudding, I think they call it.
Yep, that's definitely the phrase. Very apt. So you've given us a great overview of importance of business continuity, how you go about working with clients to make that happen. So now we're coming to the fact that you're doing a seminar on this. So what in broad terms is the aim of your seminar?
Yeah, look, as I mentioned earlier, the actual practical approach to business continuity. What we're going to do in that seminar is actually discuss and also provide certain templates that I normally would use in consultancy work and that are normally chargeable as part of that work. But we selected some of them together with Goldberg. We actually said, okay, why don't we give these defense suppliers certain tools from that toolkit, from that, you know, that bigger toolkit that we have, but actually the key items that they, that will help them build their plan. So for example, we'll be giving away some templates and they're very practical. One is a risk matrix where we focus actually on the consequence scenarios. And it's a very limited list, but it's just really good practice to use some core consequence or impact scenarios like loss of building, loss of IT, loss of staff, loss of voice communication, those sorts of examples. So we're going to discuss and get people to work actually in the course with that particular template, but also a what we call a BCP on a page template, which will include things like manual workarounds, how long they might last, what do people need after that initial workaround has not lasted them anymore, and also based on those core consequence scenarios for the time-critical processes that they need to continue for their business. So the actual value of that training program is not just hearing me talk about all the wonderful things that I've seen people do and that I help organizations with, but actually saying, okay, now we're going to put it into practice in this course. Let's get grab that template, get on with it in subgroups, start filling something in. And next week when we meet again, because it's a multi-week series of webinars and also some of the e-learning modules that we put together, We actually see that people in that week between can have a bit of a play with that material, see how it works, and then in the next session ask some really practical questions on how to further optimize their plan and their approach. So the actual giveaways that we have in that, it sounds a bit cheesy, doesn't it? But the actual giveaways in the program, they're actually quite unique because, like I said, normally they're part of more like our consultancy programs. And so we decided to do a bit of a blend of that into the training program at Defence Ready.
So a couple of the good outcomes that people are getting from your seminar bundle, like being able to avoid the common pitfalls because you're there guiding them, receiving these wonderful templates, and is there anything else that will be a key outcome from the seminar?
Look, at the end of the seminar, what gives me most satisfaction is knowing that what people have learned, actually they're going to apply and that they're actually feeling more comfortable submitting a tender response to a defense contract, for example, or an offer that the defense is asking for, and that they feel more comfortable doing that and more confident that they actually have a better competitive position now. So that's one of the key outcomes. And apart from that, actually feeling that they can go to sleep at night and knowing, hey, they've got a business continuity plan for their business, regardless of the tender with defense and the work they do for the Defense Department, actually knowing, hey, I want to continue my business if something happens and I'm able to do so. I've got a quick reference card, I've got a good plan, a BCP on the page, etc., and actually able to to feel comfortable with that. And even for the strange scenarios that people seem to think, oh, we don't need to plan for, like cloud, you know, cloud-based services are now seen as the solution for all our business continuity challenges. Well, we've seen cloud suppliers also go down. Multiple examples I can give you. I'm not going to give the names of these suppliers, but we all know a very famous global customer relationship management supplier. 2 weeks ago, in the latest one that I heard, they went down and they affected, I think, over 100 different countries and all the key players there who were using that software. And that was not a cyber attack. That was just a pure downtime scenario. So it's not like we can outsource all of this stuff to other people. We actually have to think, what can we do ourselves and assume certain things, even the black swan scenarios, you know, the low likelihood, high impact type scenarios will happen one day. And what have we done then got in place to respond? So no matter what the likelihood is or the probability, you know, the actual response plan needs to be there and the confidence around it. So that's what I'm aiming to deliver with that program, and look forward to getting into it.
So what is the makeup of your seminar bundle and how is it configured?
Yeah, so we basically thought, how can we make this as interactive as possible? And webinars are, of course, a great way to do it, but also we put together an e-learning video, including a BCP on a page template. And that e-learning video is somewhere in the middle of that 5-week webinar program, where it's more a self-study based approach for that particular one week. And there's also, after the 5 webinars and the e-learning video week, there's also a networking session, which is like a recap with all delegates about a month after the series finishes. So as I mentioned earlier, we want people to really digest the information, start working on that plan, feel ready for their next tender submission or request for proposal submission, and actually come back and share that and come back with any other thoughts or questions they might have.
Excellent. We've looked at your seminar and how bundles are configured within the seminar. We've discussed business continuity, and we've got quite a bit of information there now. But why is business continuity so relevant now and into the future and for defence?
Yeah, look, there's two factors that actually have been driving business continuity to be more and more important. And that is, first of all, the rapid technology changes. So it's almost impossible to predict any kind of impact of technology risk to your business and be completely proactive with that. For example, with ransomware, I mean, who had that in their risk matrix before it first happened? Nobody did. You know, there are just unknowns around some of this technology development that we have to at least think, okay, if it all goes down for whatever reason, what do we then have in place in terms of a plan? So rapid technology change is one aspect. And globalization, you know, over the years, and even if it's now become a little bit more localized through COVID and the lockdowns, there's still a lot of reliance most businesses have on a supply chain. And especially in the defense context, there's a lot of reliance on various suppliers, upstream, downstream, etc., and the complexities around it. So it is absolutely important to start thinking more broadly, more creatively, more innovatively, and more, well, with a risk mindset, I would say, about some of these business structures, you know, and business processes that are being put in place and the dependencies on, like I said, the supply chain, but also the technology. So those two factors already have given us, before even COVID started, you know, a really good reason to start thinking about business continuity and how important it is. But yeah, of course, pandemics are added to that mix since about a year and a half now. And yeah, that's another reason to really be serious about planning.
Yep. And as you mentioned before, that whole defense risk aware mindset that everyone seems to have in the organization, I guess what they're going to learn and this business continuity aspect is vital for defense.
Yeah, exactly. And thinking like your client is probably, when you purely look at a commercial approach, you know, for some of the suppliers that will be part of this training program as delegates, it's absolutely critical. If you understand how defense thinks, then you're going to be much more in tune with them. And also, like I said, with those rehearsals and other expectations they have from you to continue your critical services to them and have more like a dialogue approach with them rather than them and us, or oops, they're asking this and I never thought about that, and now I've got to come up with some sort of business continuity approach. You'd rather be proactive with all of that. So I think it's going to give delegates an absolute benefit, a head start over others who haven't got the chance to actually come to this program.
Excellent. Well, speaking of thinking like your client, are you able to give us some case studies, the good, the bad, the ugly, if you're allowed to tell us anything about that area?
Yeah, sure. Look, let's look at some examples outside the defense space as well, because some of the creativity came also from other industries. Like, for example, the car rental industry. Some of those suppliers switched straight to renting out their cars to goods delivery services. So, because there was an increased need through the pandemic for things to be delivered. People started ordering things instead of going to stores or traveling to buy things. No, now they actually expected more courier and postage services. So car rental companies, actually some of them switched straight to that modus and started thinking, how can they provide the service to help with transporting goods? Whereas one particular supplier, I'm not going to name them, but they filed for bankruptcy and are currently in reorganization modus because they weren't so innovative, you know, and they really kept on relying on tourism and people renting cars. Well, of course, that went down for a period of time and they didn't survive it. So that was probably a bad example. Whereas good examples, I mentioned delivery of goods, but also what about the hospitality industry? You know, all those restaurants that are cranked up their capability to actually provide takeaway food and partnering with couriers and other delivery services to sort of blend in with the whole Netflix movement, right? So people can order their food while they're sitting on their couch. And so some became creative, others lagged behind and worked with the same variables, whereas the creative ones started thinking, well, the whole world's changed. We should think completely different about who we are and who we want to be to the world. The military actually in the Netherlands, that is actually more like a defense-based example, of course. The military in the Netherlands, actually, that's my home country. So I read about this and I got quite happy with how they created a really positive image with the general public in the context of COVID, because they helped with food supply because they actually were cooking food in some central services, etc. And yeah, they actually used the lockdowns and all this the stress about how people can still get access to certain goods. They actually used that challenge to give people a positive image about them and really were helpful to the public. So it can actually be a real opportunity. You know, the silver lining in any incident, I always try to look for, and that's a life philosophy, but I always look for, as soon as something happens that is a big challenge, I think, what's the benefit here? You know, because often you think it, you know, a year later or 2 years later, you think, oh, wasn't that actually a great thing? Wasn't I lucky that that happened, you know? But the trick is to ask that question as soon as possible. And I think some have really been able to do that through the disasters, not just COVID, but also, you know, when we talk about bushfires, we talk about floods, we've seen in organizations in Australia as well, really jumping on that as an opportunity to change gear, to change their services or products, to start online sales, for example, and, you know, all those sort of new developments that they implemented because the challenge came to them. And that's the trick, I think, in life and also in business, to think straight away differently about what's in front of you and do something with it. So yeah, resilience. We call that organizational resilience, actually. So it's a bit beyond business continuity, but it's in my world, it's the same thing, actually.
Yep, just a logical extension. So we've come to the end of the show. It's time to wrap up. Are there any final items you'd like to touch on to wrap this up, to help reinforce the importance of business continuity and its application in the defense environment?
Yeah, look, I really think the absolute critical decision that everyone needs to make right now, today, after hearing this podcast, is enter that program, because that Defense Ready series is really an essential. Well, the BCP course in there is an essential ingredient in getting your business defense ready. You know, it's really a unique opportunity to get the business continuity plan together in a fast way, in a condensed way, effectively, efficiently, you know, and not overspending time and effort on it. But just get into it, and I hope to see you there. And like I said, it's got great takeaway value, and I love teaching people and I love guiding people through that process, and I can't wait to see everyone there.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Renske. It's been great to have you here talking about your seminar coming up, and I'm sure people will get great value out of attending. So folks, we'll leave it there and move on to the next seminar.
You have been listening to another Defence Ready seminar episode. For more information on the Defence Ready seminar series, please visit the Goal Group website at www.goalgroup.com.au. This episode has been produced by Southern Skies Media on behalf of Goal Group. The content in this episode cannot be used without permission from Goal Group.
Southern Skies Media.